And please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 1. This morning we return to our study of the book of Genesis, and I want to focus our attention today on two closely related concepts, and that's the image of God and the Sabbath. And we are going to read a few verses from chapter 1 and a few from chapter 2. We're actually going to jump around a bit in the reading, but these verses all fit together as God helping us, we shall see. And so we'll start with Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And before we hear God's word, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, who gave his life as a sacrifice for us to atone for our sins forever and reconcile us to you. And we thank you, Father, that you have adopted us as your children in Jesus Christ and have made us heirs of a glorious inheritance that awaits us in heaven, and have given us the Holy Spirit as the down payment of our inheritance that Christ purchased for us with his own blood. Father, this morning, as we look at Scripture again together, we pray that by your Spirit you would bring illumination to our minds and produce faith in our hearts to receive in faith this word that is able to save our souls. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 and beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now skip down to verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now skip to chapter 2 and verse 1. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done." So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And now verse 7. "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And finally, verse 15 of chapter 2. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" This is the word of God. Now, heaven and earth are created realms. The very first verse in the Bible teaches us that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth is not eternal. It was created by God at a certain point in time, and before that time, it did not exist. But you see, that's also true of heaven. Heaven is not eternal either. It was created by God in the beginning. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Heaven and earth are created realms that God formed in the beginning, and God also created living creatures to inhabit those realms. He created the angels to inhabit the realm of heaven, and he made creatures to inhabit the realm of earth. He made the birds and the fish and the animals that live on dry land. And so heaven and earth are two different created realms with living creatures that inhabit them. But there's one earthly creature that God destined to eventually inhabit the realm of heaven. And that creature is man. human beings who alone were made in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 2:7 tells us that Adam was created of the dust from the earth. He is an earthly creature. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and by that first breath of the Spirit, God imparted to him an earthly mode of existence, an earthly life. But God did not intend for humans to remain earthly creatures forever. He purposed them to become heavenly creatures. Man's earthly mode of existence, which God gave them in the beginning, was not permanent, but temporary. It was ordered to advance to a heavenly one. Since creation, humans have inhabited the earth, are destined to inhabit the realm of heaven. That's man's destiny. Heaven is what he is destined to obtain. His end goal is to advance from earth to heaven. And by that, I don't simply mean to change locations, but rather to change modes of existence from one that is earthly in nature to one that is heavenly in nature. Before God ever created man, in Genesis 1:26, God purposed that he would advance from being an earthly creature of the dust to a heavenly creature. And that advancement of man from this realm to the realm of heaven would take place at the consummation, at the end of the world. The consummation is the end point of human history in which we, as the image of God, will advance from our temporary state of existence on earth to our permanent and final state of existence in heaven. And when you look at the history of special revelation recorded in the Bible from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, that is exactly what you see. You see the history of man as image of God from its beginning point, its alpha point in the beginning, to its end point, its omega point at the end. In the beginning, we were created as earthly creatures to inhabit this earthly realm. In the end, however, we will advance beyond this earthly realm to the heavenly one. We'll become immortal, imperishable, glorified, and we will inhabit the realm of heaven forever. And that heavenly life and heavenly mode of existence, which we will receive at the end of human history in the consummation, is our final permanent state of affairs. And the Bible calls that state of affairs the heavenly Sabbath. At the end of this world, we'll enter our heavenly and eternal Sabbath rest, just as God entered his rest when he finished his work of creation. Now, let me focus your attention on Genesis 2, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says this: "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done." Now, you may have noticed that the first verse of chapter 2 echoes the first verse of chapter 1. Verse 1 of chapter 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," and then verse 1 of chapter 2, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." God finished creating the realms of heaven and earth and all the host of them. That is, the angels who inhabit the realm of heaven and the creatures that inhabit the realm of earth. And having finished his work, God rested from all his work. Again, verse 2, "On the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done." So the creation week consummates here. The creation week consummates with God's rest on the seventh day, which is a rest that never ends. The seventh day of the creation week continues forever. At the ends of days 1 through 6, Moses wrote, "And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And there was evening and there was morning the second day and the third day," and so on. But Moses did not write, "And there was evening and there was morning the seventh day." That's not there. And why isn't it? Because the seventh day doesn't end. It never ends. God entered his Sabbath rest on the seventh day, and that divine rest continues to this day. The heavenly Sabbath, the divine Sabbath, abides forever. And that unceasing Sabbath rest of God is the climax of the creation week. It's the high point, the zenith or capstone of creation. Now, what exactly does Scripture mean when it says that God rested? Obviously, it does not mean that God was fatigued or exhausted and that he needed to relax a bit after his work in order to recover his strength. God, of course, does not become weary. He doesn't become tired. His strength is never depleted. It's never decreased to any degree. But if it doesn't mean that, what does it mean? Well, some people think it simply means that God ceased from his activity of creating. God rested in the sense that he stopped creating. He ceased from that particular activity. Now, there is an element of truth to that interpretation because God did, in fact, cease from the activity of creating. But there is more to it than that. Scripture associates God's rest with his enthronement. His enthronement in the highest heavens and his sovereign reign as the supreme ruler of heaven and earth. God's Sabbath rest, we can put it this way, God's Sabbath rest is his royal session from his heavenly throne as the king, the sovereign creator king of heaven and earth. God's throne is in heaven, and his heavenly throne is his resting place. God's rest on the seventh day is a coronation event. It is his enthronement in the highest heavens. The Creator King sits on his glorious throne on high, resting from his work of creation, ruling and reigning with absolute dominion over the realms of heaven and earth, governing all his creatures and all their actions according to his sovereign will and to the praise of his glory. God's Sabbath rest is the goal. It's the end point. It's the climax of the creation week. And it's the consummate state of rest in the permanent place of rest that God entered when he finished his work that he had done in creation. Now, here's what I want you to see. Here's the main point I want to make today. When God created man as an earthly creature in an earthly realm, he destined him to enter that same consummate state of rest in the same place, permanent place of rest, that God himself entered when he finished his work of creation. Now, where do we see that in Genesis 1 and 2? Well, look more closely at verses 2 and 3 of chapter 2. Go back to Genesis 2, verse 2. It says that on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So, verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Now, verse 2 tells us that God rested. Verse 3 tells us that God appointed the seventh day as a day of rest for man. In verse 2, there is the heavenly, unceasing rest of God. But in verse 3, there is the earthly, weekly rest of man. Verse 3 is the institution of the weekly Sabbath day. That is the weekly day of rest that God appointed, that God established for man. That's what the fourth commandment refers to, the weekly Sabbath. And you may have noticed that the fourth commandment echoes Genesis chapter 2. In Exodus 20, the fourth commandment is recorded. We read this earlier when we read the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work." Verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." That echoes Genesis 2 and verse 3. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, Genesis 2:3, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He sanctified it. He consecrated it. He made it holy. He set it apart for a holy use. The seventh day being blessed by God and consecrated by God is different from the other days of the week. It is set apart, consecrated for a holy use. God blessed it. He made it holy. And when did that? When did God bless the seventh day and make it holy? He didn't do it in Exodus 20. He did it in Genesis 2. The observance of the weekly Sabbath did not begin at Mount Sinai. It began in the Garden of Eden. Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man. It was not made for Israel only. It was made for man, that is, for humanity in general. And when was it made? When did God institute the weekly Sabbath? He instituted it at creation, Genesis 2, verse 3. The Sabbath was made for man the day after God made man. When God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, he told Adam and Eve to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. That commandment was given to Adam and Eve just as it was given to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. The weekly Sabbath day was given to man as the image of God so that he might image God or imitate God at the creaturely level by working 6 days and resting on the seventh day. The concept of the image of God stands behind the Sabbath, the institution of the Sabbath. The principle that's at work here is what we might call the principle of replication, the replication principle. There's the divine, heavenly, original, and then there is the earthly copy or replica of that original. Man was created as the image of God. God, you see, is the divine original. And man, created in God's image, is the earthly created copy or replica of that divine original. And so it is with the Sabbath. There is the divine Sabbath, the heavenly, unceasing Sabbath rest of God in Genesis 2:2. And then there's the earthly temporary Sabbath appointed for man in Genesis 2:3. That's the replication principle. That weekly Sabbath day made for man was an earthly copy. It was an earthly replica of the heavenly Sabbath rest of God himself, the divine original. Man himself is a created earthly replica of God, and the weekly Sabbath given to man is also, likewise, a created earthly replica of God's Sabbath. And as the image of God, here's the idea, as the image of God, man replicates God. He imitates God at the creaturely level by doing what? By working 6 days and resting on the seventh day. In the creation week, God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh day. And Adam and Eve, as the image of God, would follow that divine pattern, working 6 days and resting on the seventh day. Now, the purpose of the weekly Sabbath was not simply to give man a day so that he could relax and recover after a hard week of work. The weekly Sabbath did serve that purpose, but it served a far greater purpose than that. Now, remember, this is where I started the sermon. Human beings were not destined to remain earthly creatures forever. They were created as earthly creatures to inhabit the earthly realm. God formed Adam of the dust from the ground, the dust from the earth. He's an earthly creature. And he put him in the Garden of Eden, an earthly realm. But they were not destined to remain earthly creatures forever. They were destined to do what? To advance beyond their earthly existence to a heavenly existence. And the weekly Sabbath that God made for man and gave to man at the beginning directed man toward his destiny. The weekly Sabbath was an earthly copy of the heavenly original. It pointed upward to the Sabbath rest of God. God gave it to man as a sign of what he was destined to enter when he finished the work that God commissioned and empowered him to perform. God gave him a work to do. God gave him a mandate, sometimes called the dominion mandate in Genesis 1:28, or the cultural mandate, or the kingdom mandate. He gave dominion to man. He commanded him to fill the earth, to subdue it, and to exercise dominion over it. God commissioned him to perform a particular work, and upon successful completion of that work, he would advance beyond his earthly mode of existence to the heavenly one. He would work and then enter his rest. So the weekly Sabbath was never meant to be permanent. It's only temporary. It's a temporary sign that pointed forward and upward to the final perfect and permanent state of affairs at the consummation, the end point of human history, in which we, as God's image, will advance from our temporary state of existence on earth to our permanent and final state of existence in heaven. Now, when God gave the weekly Sabbath to Adam and Eve, he, by giving that sign to them, he directed them toward their future. He ordered them. He oriented them. He directed them to life beyond earth, to life with God in heaven. The Sabbath ordinance, that's the weekly Sabbath, every week, the Sabbath taught them that they were destined to become immortal, imperishable, glorified, heavenly creatures. God was saying to them, after you finish the work I've commissioned you to do, you will enter my heavenly unceasing Sabbath rest just as I myself entered it after finishing my work of creation. So the end point of the creation week is the end goal of humanity. The end point of the creation week is Genesis 2:2. That's the end goal also of humanity. And Genesis 2:3 is the first sign of that. Now that's the significance of the weekly Sabbath. Now of course, in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinned against God. They ate the forbidden fruit. And the prospect of entering God's heavenly unceasing Sabbath rest in the realm of heaven was forfeited by Adam and Eve by their disobedience, by their sin against God. They forfeited the prospect of advancing beyond their earthly life and entering into their heavenly one. But what Adam and Eve and all of their descendants in them forfeited by their disobedience to God, the new Adam, the second and last Adam, who is Jesus Christ, has obtained by his perfect obedience to God. You see, in his resurrection and glorification and ascension to the Father's right hand, Jesus Christ has received what the first Adam would have received had he been obedient to God. The ascended Christ entered what? He entered heaven. He ascended into heaven. He ascended into the highest heavens. He ascended to the throne of God. He ascended to the realm of glory. He ascended beyond the firmament into the invisible realm. He ascended to the throne of God in heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Do you see it? That's him entering into the consummate state of rest, in the permanent place of rest, just as God did in the beginning after finishing his work of creation. Christ as the new Adam, Christ as the God-man, has obtained what was held out to the first Adam if he perfectly obeyed God. Christ entered the consummate state of rest and the permanent place of rest on his heavenly throne at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now that's what the Sabbath that God instituted in the beginning is all about. And that's how it's related to the concept of the image of God. Man as image of God is the earthly copy or replica of God himself. And the earthly weekly Sabbath is likewise a copy or replica of the divine Sabbath. And what does it tell man? It tells man what his destiny is. It points to man's nature. It tells him what he is. He is the image of God. He imitates God. But it also points forward and upwards to his destiny, which is to advance beyond his earthly mode of existence into a heavenly one, which our Lord Jesus Christ, as the new and obedient Adam, has already done.